You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Best looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to the only six-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I am not just the co-host today. I'm the only host, the host with the most. This is Jordan the Body Fox. How's everyone doing today? So, our man, the myth, our legend, the living legend Ray Cash is not available today. He's feeling a little bit under the weather, so we are going at it solo today. Today is normally the day we review SmackDown, but I wanted to do something a little bit different today. So, as most people know, if you listen to the show every day, or if you listen to on a fairly regular basis, you do know that I am officially accepted and heading to the A Wrestling Academy. One of the few in the state of Oklahoma. I start August 1st. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018, so about 48 days, I do start the Wrestling Academy. I'm super excited, and today I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, everything that's going on with that. So to start out, basically, I've talked about it a little bit, but I'm 29 years old, so I'm getting a kind of a late start. I've been working in wrestling. I started our podcast in January, and I was podcasting and writing for a bit. My good friend Jeremy Donovan over at socialsuplex.com allowed me to get my foot in the door, and I just kind of ran wild. I took the opportunity that he gave me, and I just ran wild. I was writing for him about New Japan, being a new fan, and I wrote some articles for him as I was podcasting every single day, and that led me into the opportunity of a lifetime, which was a girl that I was friends with on Facebook, because we're both from the same hometown, but we didn't actually know each other, even though her best friend is actually a good friend of my wife's, that we all, the three of us, go to the same Catholic church. It was a small church in a small community of about 1,800 people. So we literally didn't know each other, but we knew each other. We were friends on Facebook. We had met in the past, I believe, but we just didn't really know each other. But anyway, her husband is the Revolutionary champion right now, the world-class revolutionary champ. His name is Damon Windsor. He's a great wrestler. Her name is Annalyn Storm, aka Bri Willingham, and she gave me an opportunity to get on with World Class Revolution. At the time, it was called Imperial Wrestling Revolution, and she hired me as a publicist. It's just been great, you know. I'm living every fan's dream, you know. You know, there's a lot of fans out there that want to work in wrestling but have no desire to be a wrestler, and that's cool. That's how I felt for a good little while. I thought because of some physical limitations to my body, I thought that I would never have the opportunity to be a wrestler, and I kind of just accepted that and moved on, and I just decided, you know, hey, I just want to hold some sort of creative position in wrestling. Well, So I was given that opportunity. I'm super thankful. I get to work with a great bunch of wrestlers. I get to travel all across the southern states. Just freaking awesome, man. I get to write articles about what I love. I get to podcast every day about what I love. You know, it's just been really awesome. I started training really hard a while back, and I finally realized, like, you know what, I can do this. You know, I can go to the academy if I'm accepted. You know, I didn't know how hard or how easy it would be to get accepted into the academy that I applied for. It's about 80 miles away from my house, so it will be a bit of a commute. But so I applied, and wouldn't you know, I was accepted. Like 6 days later after I applied, 6 or 8 days later, I found out that I was accepted into the academy. I'm just super excited. I waited a few days to tell everybody. But it's just, you know, so now I'm going to start training. And they said that I could come up to 4 days a week and train with them, whether some days it'll be one-on-one, some days I'll be in a group of like three, depending on what the trainers want to accomplish that day. I'm super excited. You know, I've been training real hard physically, doing body weight exercises, running long distances, sprints, trying to train my neck, to strengthen my neck so my head won't hit the mat every time I take a bump. You know, just trying to literally do every single thing that I can to help to make this transition to the training academy as easy as possible. I've got a friend of mine that I work with, a guy by the name of Prince Mahali, who's a phenomenal wrestler. And he lives up in the Oklahoma City area. I'm going to start going up with him, and he's going to start teaching me about running the ropes and taking bumps and stuff to kind of give me a little bit more of an edge. So when I go into the training academy, I at least know a few basics and stuff like that. So I don't, you know, so I can ease into that a little bit more instead of just showing up day one of the academy and just being boom, 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 boom. At least I'll know a few things. So I'm very fortunate that I worked in wrestling before I started the wrestling academy, because I'm being afforded all these opportunities, and that's really awesome for someone like me that's 29 years old. You know, if I was 18, you know, it'd be a little bit easier just to go in there and go, you know, bang, bang, bang. But being 29 and never taking a bump before, like, just it's nice to be able to have that kind of stuff. And you know, there's one thing that I want to say. I've been dieting. I've never had to diet before in my life. I've always been a physically fit guy. I never really ate sweets. I didn't start drinking Dr. Pepper, weirdly enough, up until a couple of years ago. I was on pain medication for a hip surgery I had, and for some reason, whenever I started taking that pain medication, it made me crave sugar and stuff like that. Well, I found out more about that later on when I researched about addiction and stuff like that. But at the time, I had just started drinking Dr. Pepper, and I'd ate desserts and stuff. Very rarely would I even eat dessert. If I went out with like my in-laws, Lawrence and Karen, and my wife Courtney, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and nieces and my son and all that, sometimes I would split like a dessert with either my wife or my father-in-law or something like that. But I never really ate a bunch of sweets or anything. But in the last 2 years, I've let myself kind of fall and get out of shape a bit compared to what I used to be. You know, I was active duty in the Army. I spent a year in Iraq. So I was really into physical fitness then, and it continued throughout my entire adult life up until really about 14 months ago is kind of when I stopped going to the gym every day and kind of let myself, let my body get away from me just a little bit. So I'm working really hard to get back in peak physical condition, but the main thing that I'm doing now is I'm having to diet to kind of shed a little bit of my old spare tire that I got here and getting back to where I have a six-pack again. And my God, I have to say, if you diet on a regular basis and you own that and you are phenomenal at that, more power to you. Because if you have that willpower to do that, then that is awesome. I uh, I downloaded an app called Loseit, L-O-S-E-I-T, and it you're able to count your calories and put in your exercises that you do for the day and stuff like that. And to lose a little bit of weight over the next, like, 6 months, I have to stay under 2,000 calories a day. And my God, is it hard. Oh, man, I never realized, like, you know, a cup of coffee with a tablespoon or teaspoon, whatever one's smaller, I think it's teaspoon. If you have a cup of coffee with one little teaspoon of sugar, it's 75 calories. Let that sit into you first. Let that sit in for a second. 75 calories for this little bitty cup. And, you know, I've always kind of liked energy drinks. And I actually bought one today. I've been dieting, but I splurged today and I got me a Full Throttle energy drink. And in this one little 16-ounce can, there's 220 calories and like 500,000 grams of sugar. So, you know, obviously today I'm going to go up to Oklahoma City and I'm going to work on some stuff. We'll talk about that in a bit for the wrestling promotion. So I thought, you know what, I can have a little sugar today because I'll probably eat on the road and probably break my diet today. But I've been doing so good here lately that I just thought, ah, what the heck, you know. But yeah, if you diet on a regular basis and you're in, you know, you're in the best condition that you can be in, and you have gotten used to, you know, eating a set amount of food every day, man, I've gained a whole new respect for people that do that. You know, like bodybuilders that force themselves to eat like 6 or 8 times a day, and they have to eat like the exact proportion, and I mean, like, only a certain amount of carbohydrates and calories and sugars and proteins and all that. Like, man, like when I was at my peak physical condition, you know, I'd run, you know, 2 to 4 miles in the morning. I'd work out in the evening after I got off work, before I became a firefighter. And I would have a protein shake, a chocolate protein shake after I ran, or excuse me, I'd have a protein shake before I ran, 20 minutes before I ran. And then I'd have a protein shake within 5 or 10 minutes after I worked out in the evening time. And sometimes I would try to have a protein shake as a snack between like 9 and 11, somewhere around there. And then I would go eat, you know, between 12 and 1 for lunch. So that was like, and I pretty much just ate whatever I wanted. Like I said, I didn't eat desserts and stuff like that. I didn't drink pop. I just drank water. But if, you know, if I wanted to have like pasta, or if I, even if I wanted to have a dessert, like I would just eat it. And, you know, and I had I was just in, you know, in great condition. And, you know, between me getting a little bit lazy after my surgery and dealing with pain pill addiction and dealing with getting older and stuff like that, like, you know, and I think my metabolism has slowed down as well. Like, I just, man, I can't get through the day without having to diet and count my calories. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I don't want to live like that, but I guess I'm going to have to from now on. But anyway, more power to you if you can do that. But, you know, like I said earlier, I'm living every wrestling fan's dream. I get to work in wrestling. I get to hang out with all the wrestlers. You know, the guys, you know, I've made friends with so many wrestlers. Like, it's just, I'm already learning so much about them, about crowd reaction, and I'm trying to learn how to, like, book shows, like what kind of matches go where and stuff like that. I'm still, you know, very, very new at what I do, but I'm getting to write about wrestling. Like, it's just all, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, and to make money doing it, it's just, it's phenomenal. And, but now, you know, I got to the point where, like, man, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it now. I'm already 29 years old. If I'm going to get in the ring and I want to have some kind of career, I need to do it. So I pull the trigger and, you know, basically, you know, we talked about, or we haven't talked about, but, you know, kind of what I want to accomplish. You know, I have no, I'm pretty realistic. You know, I'm a very optimistic guy, but I'm also, you know, very realistic. And I know that there's a very, very slim chance that I would make it to the big time, to the Impacts, the Ring of Honors, or excuse me, the Impacts. I don't even know if I want to throw those in there. We'll just say the two big ones, and that would be, to me, that would be WWE and New Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Those are the two, those are the big leagues for me. And, you know, I don't truly believe, I would love to see it happen, but, you know, well, I highly doubt that I will ever be accomplished enough in pro wrestling to be able to make it to that level. But could I have a very fun and entertaining and enjoyable career on the indie scene? I absolutely sure could, you know. I make decent money what I do. So it's not even really about money. You know what I mean? If I make a little money here and there at bookings, like that's all fun and good, you know? But to me, it's about the experience. And, you know, you only live once. So, you know, my goal is to have fun and to be able to tell my grandkids one day, yeah, you know, I was a professional wrestler and, you know, I meant something to the fans on the indie scene at one time. That's my goal. You know, I'm not going to say I don't have a desire to be the world champion, because of course I do. Everybody that wants to get into wrestling wants to be the world champion. You know, you want to hold that NWA title, the same one that Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes carried, or you want to carry that WWE title, the same one that Eddie Guerrero carried and CM Punk carried, you know, and a ton of other people, you know, and you want to, how cool would it for, you know, you and your best friend or your brother to be the tag champions, like, you know, your brother, like you're the Hardys, or your best friend, like you're Edge and Christian, and, you know, to be a 9-time Intercontinental Champion like Chris Jericho, and to reinvent a title like The Miz, you know. Of course, I'd love to do all those things, but am I going to lose sleep at night if I never make it to the WWE? Of course not. Am I going to lose sleep at night if I never make it to New Japan? Of course not. The place I am going does have contracts with, one of them is DDT, and I can't remember, maybe Takumi Shinoku's promotion in Japan. Anyway, they have contracts with two promotions in Japan, and you know, maybe one day I'll get an opportunity to work for a smaller promotion for a tour through Japan and get to see Japan. That would be a lot of fun. But my main goal is, you know, to wrestle, you know, on the indie circuit in Oklahoma, in Texas, in Kansas, Nebraska, Arkansas, you know, and just to be able to travel and maybe take some road trips to some matches that are several hours away with guys that I know and guys that I like to hang out with, guys and gals, for me and my wife sometime to, you know, take a 2.5-3 hour drive to Dallas and work an indie show down there and then spend, you know, the rest of our time, you know, relaxing, you know, doing stuff in Dallas. I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, I think there's so much that you can accomplish on the indie scene. You know, and I think, you know, people like the Young Bucks are, you know, are a good person, a good example. And the Von Erichs, another good example. You know, when we talk about the Young Bucks, you know, they've never wrestled for WWE. I know, you know, people are going to send me messages talking about, they had a tryout match and they didn't shake Booker T's hand and all that, but I'm just talking about, you know, on the main roster, on Raw, you know, the Young Bucks are never there, and those guys are probably making more money. Each of them are probably making more money than I'd say 90% of the roster in WWE. So, you know, it really shows that you can have a great career on the indie scene. And do I think that I'll ever be as big a name as the Young Bucks? Absolutely not. I don't want anyone to think that I'm, you know, I think so high of myself and I'm trying to be cocky and saying, oh, I can, if the Young Bucks can do it, I can do it. That's not what I'm saying at all. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, they are proof that you don't have to be the top guy in the top company to have fun wrestling, because it's just not the case. So, you know, and I want to do a video series, and I want to do a podcast. There's so much stuff that I want to do once I become a professional wrestler. You know, I would just absolutely love to be able to, you know, document my journey to becoming a pro wrestler, and then documenting my first year as a pro wrestler, and then, you know, maybe document another year on down the road when I'm a little bit more experienced, and you know, just all kinds of stuff. You know, if I'm at our last TV taping at World Class Revolution's last TV taping in Wichita, Kansas, at the Cotillion, in front of a pretty hot crowd, my good friend and ring announcer Mitch McCoy announced to the crowd, you know, that I host a daily podcast and I write for him, and he talked about how hard I work, and then he also told them that I was a United States Army veteran, an Iraq War veteran, and he started a Thank You Jordan chant, and it was, I mean, it made me emotional, it made me cry. That was so cool to hear, you know, to hear those fans chant that. You know, they weren't there for me. They wouldn't be able to point me out of the crowd, but they don't even remember my name or anything like that. But for that 1 second, you know, they were chanting my name, saying, "Thank you, Jordan." And I was the center of attention for that brief moment. And I just thought that that was the coolest thing. And I'll be honest, that was like the turning point for me. That's when I decided, like, man, I can do this. And, it kind of gets me a little choked up just thinking about it. Just because it was really, really cool to hear all them, you know, chanting for a good, you know, 20, 30 seconds, you know. And this is, you know, hundreds of people chanting, "Thank you, Jordan." It was really cool, you know. So I think I'm very thankful to Mitch McCoy for starting that. That same show, little sidebar, because it was Memorial Day weekend, that same show, Matt Stryker, who's a big supporter of the United States military, was getting ready to wrestle Retro Randy in a phenomenal match that they had. Absolutely phenomenal match. But just before the bell rang, without a microphone or anything, he just yelled, "I just want to thank..." if there's any veteran, for all the veterans in the building, I just want to say thank you for your service. And as everyone was clapping, he looked around the ring and found me. I was on camera, and we made eye contact, and he looked at me and said, "Thank you." And dude, that was so cool, man, to have the respect for that moment of Matt Stryker, you know, who is, you know, has made it, you know what I mean? He made it to the WWE. He's been, a commentator for WWE and Lucha Underground, and he's just done all this stuff in his career. And for that moment, you know, like, he was like, "You're the man." I just thought that was so cool, you know. And I want to be able to go on the road with more wrestlers like Max Stryker, and I want to learn from these guys. And man, it's just, there's so much that I want to do, you know. And it doesn't revolve around winning championships and stuff. Like, I want to have that experience. I want to become the best wrestler that I could possibly be. I want to wrestle some of the world's best, and I want to travel, and I want to entertain people. That's what I want to do. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm stepping out of line about what I want to, you know, talking about what I want to accomplish in wrestling before I'm a wrestler. You know, I'm a really big dream-driven guy. You know, and that's my dream, and that's what I want to do. So I'm super excited that I was. Super excited that I was accepted into the training academy. I absolutely cannot wait to get going. Just absolutely ecstatic, you know. So why don't we take a brief break here? Let me catch a real quick drink of my energy drink, and we will talk about a few things that happened on SmackDown before we call it a day. All right, guys, I'll be right back. All right, guys, and we're back. Let's talk a little bit about some SmackDown before we go for the day. So, SmackDown, I don't know. I'm not really sure what I thought about SmackDown today. Let's just get into it. So we start off with Paige hosting a little, I guess we'll call it a powwow between the four female wrestlers that are going to be representing SmackDown in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, including Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Lana, and Naomi. Each one's talking, you know, giving their case about why they're going to win, and suddenly comes out the Iconics, and then followed by Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They're talking shit back and forth, and then it ends up being a 4-on-4 match is set by Paige. After we come back from the break, we have Daniel Bryan and Shelton Benjamin. Some stuff's talked about what Shelton tweeted. Daniel Bryan talked about some stuff with Big Cass, and that's going to be the first thing that we're going to talk about so far. So you bring it back, Daniel Bryan, and the first thing that they do is they put him in to a feud with Big Cass. After, you know, he had the match with Shane McMahon as his tag team partner against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which putting him with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens was cool. But, I mean, just this feud with Big Cass, I'm assuming that they're trying to get Big Cass over as a singles competitor, which, you know, I don't know. I guess they're trying to get him over as a heel by putting him with a smaller guy. I don't know what the deal is. To be honest, I think it's probably a misusage of Daniel Bryan. I think Shelton Benjamin is a good opponent for him. You know, it's not really, it's not really believable that Shelton Benjamin can beat him, in my opinion, in a one-on-one match, just because Shelton has never been booked as a super strong individual character. But nonetheless, they put on a great match. 411 Mania gave it 3 stars, which is a good rating for a television match. I thought it was cool. After that, we see Paige meets up with Asuka backstage. Asuka says she wants Carmella tonight. Paige says, oh, I get it. You know, she attacked you from behind, but we can't really do that. How about instead I put you, basically she said, I'll put you with the good guys, I'll put Carmella with the bad guys, and we'll turn the 4-on-4 match into a 5-on-5 match. After that, she runs into The Miz, who's randomly got a referee shirt on. And let's talk about The Miz for a second. I've had, randomly, it's, I'm recording a little bit late this morning. It's 10:06 a.m. On a Wednesday. And I've already had 2 people tell me that they think The Miz is not entertaining. Either not entertaining, or they don't think he's, you know, just, you know, what they're doing is not, like, is not hitting the gauge for them, I guess, you know. And I don't see that. You know, I know everyone's got their own taste, but, man, I think The Miz is probably one of the best things on SmackDown right now. I think The Miz should be world champion. I think he should be, you know, he's already basically the face of SmackDown. I mean, the guy, he's a utility player. You could put him in as a tag team champion, as an intercontinental champion, a U.S. champion, or a world champion. And I think he looks, you know, he fits whatever you put him. You know, you can mold him to be whatever you want. He's just a phenomenal character. You know, Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year. You know, I mean, he's popular enough that he's got his own reality TV show now, Miz and Mrs. or whatever. I just think he's one of the best things in wrestling today. And so I just don't understand, you know, he teaches their own, but it just surprised me, I guess you could say, whenever I see 2 different people telling me today, you know, that, oh, that's, you know, not really my thing. It's just kind of surprising. But anyway, The Miz has got a randomly, he's got a referee shirt on. He makes up something about how he's got an audition to be a referee and ref or something like that. But then says he'll lend his talents to be a special guest referee in the Rusev versus Samoa Joe match. Paige says, because they're in the Money in the Bank ladder match too. You want to take out your competition? Fine, whatever. And she allows him to do it. So after that, we see, we get highlights from the AJ Styles Nakamura feud. Jerry Lawler interviews AJ Styles. King brings out Styles for a top of the stage interview. King talks about Styles slapping Nakamura last week during their contract signing. Styles admits to losing his cool and apologizes for knocking Nakamura's head off. It was short, but it was okay. He's basically here to use King in front of his hometown crowd. You know, they're in Memphis, so why not get Jerry Lawler out there? You see Miz preparing to get for his referee duties tonight. We find out that the SmackDown tag title match will be on the pay-per-view kickoff show for Money in the Bank. I wonder how do people feel about that? Because I guess if there's not enough room on the card, there's not enough room on the card, and this is a stacked pay-per-view. There's going to be two ladder matches. It sucks to see a tag team title match, pushed down to the bottom of the card, or the pre-show, but whatever. I think that'll be a great match, if they could have a little time. If they kind of take the handcuffs off a bit, I think the Bludgeon Brothers and the Club, I think they could have a real great match, if you ask me. Next, we see Samoa Joe and Rusev. I thought these guys had a great match, man. I just thought it was a great match. 411 Mania only gave it 2.5 stars. I thought it was a little bit better than that. What else can you say about it? It was a cool match. I don't want to get into match details too much because I'm only going to do a short little stint here talking about SmackDown before we upload it to today, because I got to make by the 11:30 Chairshot Radio Network time frame that we air at every morning. They had a great match. I think The Miz played it perfectly. There was a minor ref bump. And then Samoa Joe grabbed a hold of his finger, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. He gets hit by the Machka kick, and when the Miz goes down and he goes to count, he's got his right index finger pointed up in the air, like, you know, he's got his forearm down on the ground, but he's still got that finger up because he's playing, you know, he's selling as if it was hurt or broken. And he ends up counting with his left hand. I thought that was real great. And, you know, just again, the Miz, one of the best things in wrestling right now. I just absolutely love it. I gotta say real quick, if I'm pausing a little bit too much and I'm kind of fumbling on my words and there's some pregnant pauses in here and stuff, you know, it's kind of hard doing a show by yourself. I said this before. I used to do some shows by myself before Ray came on and we got the Daily Show going as a tag team. It's kind of hard, you know, sometimes when you don't have someone like Ray that's very vocal and very opinionated, and I'm saying that all in a good way because I love doing the show with Ray. It's kind of hard whenever all of a sudden you wake up and Ray's, you know, sick, and so you can't do the show with him, and it's kind of hard not having, you know, with me and him going back and forth. It's kind of weird, to say the least, doing the show by himself. But big shout out to Ray. I know you're listening today, brother. Get to feeling better. Much love, man. 411 Mania wrote about this match that it was a solid match with a slow middle and a flat ending. I thought the finger thing with the Miz was pretty cool. 411 Mania does make mention of this, and I would agree with him. I would love to see Rusev versus Joe in a 15-minute, just a full head-on match, no handcuffs, just a barn burner. If we'll steal from my fellow Oklahoman, good old JR Jim Ross, just an absolute barn burner. It would be absolutely amazing. After the match, Rusev lays out Joe with the ladder, but the Miz then lays him out with a skull crushing finale. Miz climbs the ladder, grabs the briefcase. He puts the briefcase down in front of, or on the commentating desk, and he's like. He's like, that's my contract right there. I'm going to cash it in and become the new world champion. And Byron Saxton's like, Miz, you got pancaked. And you look down and there's pancakes. It's just overflowing with pancakes. They had taken the contract out. The New Day has taken the contract out, and they put in pancakes. And then it shows the New Day backstage laughing it up. And... I don't know why, but Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods were sharing. They were in one T-shirt. I thought that was funny. But anyway, oh my God, again, I love The Miz. The Miz drops down, and his face gets real red, and he puts his fist up by his hand, and he's like, "No Dare!" Something like that. It was absolutely awesome. Freaking love The Miz, dude. Love The Miz. Next, we get a non-title match between Shinsuke Nakamura and the U.S. champion, Jeff Hardy. Before this, I think we get the commercial for the 24 Hardy Boys Woken. They're doing a show about their whole career, I guess. They're going to start off with how they got their start in the Trampoline Wrestling Federation, or Trampoline Championship Wrestling. I forgot what it was called, over in South Carolina, I believe. Or Raleigh, or might have been North Carolina. I can't remember where they're from. One of the Carolinas. But anyway, and then, you know, they become tag team champions. Jeff becomes world champions. And then, in air quotes, their fall from grace. So they leave. They hit the indie scene. They both see arrests. Yada, yada, yada. And then them cleaning up their life, redefining themselves, and coming back. I actually think it's a phenomenal story. If you listen to the show every day, if you just listened to the show earlier, I talked about addiction a bit. So to see two guys that have gone through addiction problems and be on the brink of death and totally get clean, reinvent themselves, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And I do understand, you can message me about it, but I do know that Jeff Hardy got a DUI not too long ago, so there might be some questions about, you know, just how sober he is. But hey, teach their own. You know, I hope that if he's still struggling, he gets the care and the help that he needs, because he's a great performer. He's a great human being. So, you know, all the power in the world to Jeff Hardy in that aspect of his life. But anyway, back to the match. So we have a non-title match between Shinsuke Nakamura and the U.S. champion Jeff Hardy. There was like, I didn't feel like this match was very long, but it took up, I think it took up two commercial breaks. And it only lasted, 8 minutes. So there's been some reports of Hardy having, like, some nerve issues. They say he's been very limited in the ring lately. You know, if that's the case, they probably, you know, unless it's going to be a quick recovery time, they should probably look at getting the title off of him. You know, in this instance, how they finished it was Nakamura hit him with the low blow when it looked like Jeff Hardy was going to go over. So, you know, Nakamura came off looking strong. Jeff Hardy didn't come out looking weak. You know, he hit the Twist of Fate and the Swanton dive? I can't even remember what it's called. But anyway, I thought both guys looked strong. It wasn't like the worst match ever, but it wasn't great. I think 411 Mania gave it 2.75 stars. I don't know if I would rate it that high if I was giving it a rating myself. again, sorry. Ray, come back. I need you, bro. I'm all awkward when I'm solo, man. Next, we see Carmella is backstage. She says she tells Renee Young that she is not concerned about Asuka. When I see Renee Young today, I'm wondering, does anybody have a timetable of when her husband is coming back? Because I'd really love to see him back. You know, so get well soon. Renee, tell him I said that. Renee interviews Big Cass. He cuts her off and takes over. Cass talks about doing an appearance at the fair. He talked about making 25 large, and then he just left. And then he stole the height requirement sign. I love the height requirement sign thing that he's doing because of Daniel Bryan. The rest of it, just I was like, okay. Like, you're trying to get over, like, with this nice suit and everything, so why would you talk about going to the fair? Why would you talk about, like, you know, a public speaking engagement at IBM or something. Something, you know, that seems more, in air quotes, sophisticated, I guess you would say. Going to a fair. But, you know, then again, why would there be a height requirement sign at an IBM convention? So, you know, I guess that's why I'm not writing for WWE. Next, we see the five-on-five match, which Asuka, Charlotte, Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Lana versus Carmella, Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. I actually liked this match. It only went 12 minutes. I feel like I would have given some more time. I feel like I would have given, 15, 18 minutes. There was one point right before, I think it was Naomi, that jumped off the apron just not too long after Charlotte did her moonsault. I think you see the floor director who's standing in the crowd. He kind of comes over and he accidentally gets on camera and he's making sure that two of the female performers see Naomi. I guess they were trying to speed it up because they're running out of time. I don't know. Just a small mishap. 411 Mania gave it 2.5 stars. This is what 411 Mania. I read one Mania write up about a match each time we do a review. Here is my reading for today. Booking wise, this was actually a smart match to book, as you hype the women's title match, the Money in the Bank ladder match, and possibly feuds for after the pay per view with Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville being involved. The actual match was solid, but felt way too chaotic at times. I don't know if I would call it way too chaotic. I love when you get a little bit of chaos in there like that. It's pretty cool. It actually kind of reminds me of the old ECW days where a match would end, but there wouldn't be a pinfall or anything. Like Sandman and Raven would be in there battling, and then all of a sudden it leads into a Justin Credible versus Tommy Dreamer match, and there was never no bell or pin ending one or a bell starting the second match. And some of that, when it's used in when it's used sparingly and not very often, I thought it was pretty cool. Now, obviously, if you did a whole freaking pay-per-view like that, which seemed like ECW did sometimes, it can get kind of old. But I enjoyed the little chaos that ensued in this match at times. I thought it was a cool match. I do agree with 411 Mania on the part where they talked about, this leads into future stuff, future storylines and stuff. And if you remember way back to when CM Punk did episode 226 of the Art of Wrestling podcast with my friend Colt Cabana, he talked about, unless you're the main guy, unless you're John Cena and maybe Randy Orton, no one could ever tell you what was next. It was like, oh, we're going to do it this week, and then yada, yada, yada. So if he is to be believed, then this would be something that they're doing positively because they're thinking ahead, and they're getting storylines set up for future matches, looking beyond just 5 days from now, or 4 days, five days from now at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. But anyway, that is the show today. Sorry if I took too long or not long enough, or if I talked too fast or anything and everything like that. Like I said, once again, we need Ray back. I can't be doing shows solo. I'm all awkward and I yell too loud. And then sometimes I'll probably talk, I'll get too far away from the microphone and all this and that jazz. But I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for letting me vent to y'all and to talk to y'all happily about my future endeavors here in the next little bit with the Wrestling Academy and everything. If you have any dieting tips, send them in to me. You can follow me at Fox the Podcast, or you can follow the show at World Class Daily. That's World Class DAILY. Don't forget, you can normally follow, or that you can follow the normally present co-host, Mr. Ray Cash, at It's Ray Cash. Ray, get to feeling better soon. Everyone else out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?